And now, here is Winfred Claiborne.
Thank you very much. Some theologians and academicians criticize Christianity for its emphasis on rewards. They argue that we ought to do good simply because doing good is honorable and noble. We ought not to seek any reward for our service in the kingdom of God. There is a serious problem with that approach to human motivation. Those who object to the Bible's teaching about rewards, both temporal and eternal, are not very consistent in their views. How many of them, including preachers and theologians, would engage in their professions or occupations if they did not receive a paycheck or other benefits? How many athletes would endure discipline in baseball or football or basketball if there were no chance of winning a trophy or being paid for their hard work and skills? How many engineers, teachers, doctors, lawyers, and other professionals would spend years in getting ready to engage in their life's work and then working long hours if they were not to be paid for their labors? To insist that we ought to work simply for the pleasure and satisfaction of making a contribution to the welfare of others is a pipe dream, not reality. Moses was one of God's most faithful servants, although he was not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. But as great and unselfish as Moses was, he was concerned about the reward he would receive at the end of his life of service. In the great chapter on faith, Hebrews 11, the inspired author said concerning the great lawgiver, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward." Hebrews 11, 23-26. Dr. Hugo McCord renders that last expression, "He was keeping his eyes on the reward." The New Testament does not use the word reward as often as the Old Testament does, but it stresses serving God for reward. Those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake are assured, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets who were before you." Matthew 5:12. In his Sermon on the Plain, Christ charged his followers, "But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be called children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." Luke 6:35. Paul told Timothy, "The laborer is worthy of his reward." 1 Timothy 5:18. James uses the same word in speaking of the reward that some rich men withheld from their employees. The word is translated "hire" in this verse. "Hold the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud," cries. "And the cries of them who have reaped have entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth." James 5:4. We have a moral right to expect a reward from our earthly employment. Christ has promised an eternal reward for faithful service in his kingdom. The Lord has always attached rewards to his commands and laws. Is there any doubt God promised Adam and Eve blessings if they would obey his word? He warned them of the consequences of disobedience. He said to our first parents, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree in the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat thereof you shall surely die." Genesis 2:15-17. God would have provided an earthly paradise for Adam and Eve had they honored his law. But since they disobeyed his commandments, they were not permitted to eat of the tree of life and live forever. as the Israelites were making preparation to leave the wilderness and to cross the Jordan River into the land God had promised to their fathers, Moses urged his people to be faithful to God so he could continue to bless them. I urge you to read three chapters in the book of Deuteronomy, 28, 29, and 30. I shall take time to read selected verses from these three chapters. But it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come up on you and overtake you. Cursed shall be you in the city, and cursed shall you be in the field. The Lord shall send upon you cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do, until you be destroyed, and until you perish quickly, because of the wickedness of your doings, whereby you have forsaken me. Deuteronomy 28, 15, 16, and 20. The reward for the disobedient would be removal from the land of Palestine, and ultimately, utter destruction. Please notice God's promise of reward for faithfulness in His service. Lord your God will make you plenteous in every work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, and in the fruit of your cattle, and in the fruit of your land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good, as He has rejoiced over your fathers. Deuteronomy 30, 9. The blessings God outlined in these chapters were contingent on the obedience of the Israelites. God assured them of prosperity if they would listen to His voice, to keep His commandments and His statutes, which are written in the book of the law, and if they would turn unto the Lord their God with all their soul and with all their heart. Deuteronomy 30, 10. The Old Covenant used threats to inspire the people of God to obey Him. It also promised great rewards to the obedient. Is it legitimate to use curses and blessings in the Christian era? Jesus and His apostles unquestionably did. Did Jesus have rewards in mind when He told His disciples, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Matthew 5, 3, 5, 8, and 9. The following is one of the most familiar verses from Christ's Sermon on the Mount. "Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Matthew 7, 21. Are the promises of seeing God, of being called the children of God, and of entering into the kingdom of heaven rewards? If they are not rewards, what would you call them? The writings of many of the Old Testament prophets were very critical of the conduct of God's people. For example, the prophet Amos strongly condemned Damascus, Gaza, Ashdod, Ashkelon, Ekron, Tyre, Edom, Ammon, and Moab. Amos 1, 3 through 2, 3. He then said to Judah, the two tribes in the south, "Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have despised the law of the Lord, and have not kept His commandments, and their lies caused them to err, after the which their fathers have walked. But I will send fire upon Judah, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem." Then the prophet said to Israel, the ten tribes in the north, "Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions, yea, for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they sold the righteous for silver, and the poor for a pair of shoes, who pant after the dust of the earth on the head of the poor, and then turn aside the way of the meek. And a man and his father will go in unto the same maid to profane my holy name. And they lay themselves down upon the clothes laid to pledge by every altar. And they drink wine of the condemned in the house of their God." Amos 2, 4 through 8. Amos closed his great book with these promises. "Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him who sows seed. and the mountain shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel, and they shall build waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat of the fruit of them, and I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land which I have given them, says the Lord. Amos 9:13-16. The Old Testament closes with these comforting words. Behold, I will send Elijah the prophet before the coming of that great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite them with a curse. Malachi 4:5-6. Promises of rewards characterize virtually every chapter in the Old Testament. Have you paid careful attention to our Lord's letters to the seven churches of Asia Minor? Christ listed some of the wonderful qualities of the church at Ephesus. Laboring to the point of exhaustion, endurance, unwillingness to bear evil within the church, and exposing and opposing evil teachers. He then said, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you, because you have left your first love." He demanded, "Remember therefore from whence you have fallen, and do the first works, or else I will come unto you quickly, and will remove the candlestick out of his place, except you repent." Please take careful note of the reward the Lord promised those who remain faithful. "To him who overcomes," literally, wins the victory, "will I give to eat of the tree of life, that is in the midst of the paradise of God." Revelation 2:1-7. Christ knew the Christians at Smyrna would face great persecution and tribulation. He encouraged them with these assuring words, "Fear none of these things that you shall suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you in prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Please notice the reward Christ promised to his faithful children at Smyrna. "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life," that is, a crown composed of life. Revelation 2:8-10. Was not our Lord ashamed to base his instructions to the Smyrnaeans on a reward? Did not our Lord understand human motivation better than modern liberal theologians and academicians? Jesus reserved the severest criticism for the Laodiceans. He accused them of being lukewarm and neither hot nor cold. Their behavior made Christ sick at his stomach, figuratively speaking. They claimed to be rich and increased in goods and in need of nothing. The Lord had a different view of the Laodiceans. He said, "You are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." He concluded this stirring rebuke of a church in Laodicea. "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne." Revelation 2:15-21. What a reward! Can you imagine being privileged to sit with Christ on his throne? I have shown from the New Testament that Christ often promised rewards to those who loved him and obeyed the gospel. When Jesus Christ sent forth his apostles on the Great Commission, did he urge them to preach rewards to those who became Christians? Mark records these words, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe shall be condemned." Mark 16:15-16. Is that the kind of message the apostles and other faithful preachers taught? There is not even the slightest doubt about it. On the day of Pentecost, the birthday of the church, the Apostle Peter told the believing Jews, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Acts 2:38. Are enjoying the remission of sins and receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit rewards? the same apostle urged his listeners on Solomon's porch of the Jewish temple. Repent, therefore, and turn, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Acts 3:19. The Lord sent Ananias, a faithful gospel preacher, to tell Saul of Tarsus, a penitent believer, what he had to do to be saved. And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Acts 22:16. The same pattern appears throughout this great book of conversion. Do we also find promises of rewards in the epistles? Romans 2 compares the punishment of the disobedient with the rewards of God's faithful servants. Paul assures Christians, God will render to every man according to his deeds. He then adds, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and immortality, he will give eternal life. But unto them who are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, he will give indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man who works good, of the Jew first, and also the Gentile. Romans 2:6-10. I cannot understand why anyone would object to our seeking rewards, since God Himself promises wonderful rewards to Christians. The final book of the Bible, the great book of Revelation, is filled with threats of punishment and with promises of rewards. I've already mentioned the rewards Christ promised to the churches of Asia Minor, Revelation 2 and 3. But please take note of some of the other rewards Christ mentions in Revelation. This is one of my all-time favorite verses in the Bible. Jesus Christ commanded the Apostle John, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Revelation 14:13. What a tremendous reward that God's children will spend eternity with God and with the saints of all the ages. The Apostle John revealed what he learned in a vision from God Almighty. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. Revelation 21:1-4. John also writes, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bore 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Revelation 22:1-5. You may think it is inappropriate and beneath the dignity of man for us to preach on rewards for the righteous, but the Lord of heaven did not think so. He not only frequently discussed rewards, but so did his apostles. In fact, all Bible writers stressed rewards. What did Paul have in mind when he wrote, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord? Romans 6:23. Do you consider eternal life a reward? Do you know what I long to hear our Lord say at the final judgment? Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Matthew 25:21. My friends, heaven will surely be worth it all. Thank you for listening, and may God richly bless you.